Today is Saturday, November 7th, 1981. This is Karen Wickery interviewing Mr. and Mrs. Paul Knepp at their home, 12370 Southwest 7th Street in Beaverton, Oregon, for the Beaverton Oral History Project. I already did before, it's turning. Before I came, I tested it and did a little intro saying that I was here with you. Well, it's to start with you, two of you is a trick, but I would like to know something about both of your own backgrounds, where you came from, where your families came from. Had they lived here before?
How far back?
Well, your grandparents, say?
No, not here.
Did they come here from somewhere else? Where did they originate from, and how did they travel to settle in this area, did?
All right, I'll talk first, because I am a naturalized American citizen.
Uh-huh.
And my folks originated from England, in the city of Leicester, and that's where I was born. And when I married my husband, when I married Paul, we were married in Edmonton, Alberta. We migrated to Canada, and from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had been married a little more than a year, we moved into the Beaverton area.
Now, where did you meet him, and how is it that you chose this area? Two different questions.
Well, we both lived in the same area of the city of Edmonton, and we both attended the same church.
I see.
And my father was a minister,
uh-huh.
And our marriage was the first marriage that had been performed in that church for over 50 years of a ministerial family.
Oh, I see. What church is this?
United Church of Canada.
Uh-huh.
Why did we choose this area? Because Paul's folks moved down here from Edmonton. A little bit,
uh-huh,
prior to when we came down.
Now, when would that have been, that they moved?
Well, we had lived at Eugene. I went to University of Oregon.
I see.
So we knew the area, and Dad always liked it up around Portland. And he came here, I don't know the exact year that he looked the area over, but it was in the spring of 1935.
Yeah, they moved in the fall of 35.
Fall of 35, and then she came down in the on the February the 29th of 1936.
Now, you had known each other for how long before you got married?
About a year.
Uh-huh. And that all took place in Edmonton.
Yes.
And he,
mm-hmm, yes, and
moved ahead.
Our first child was born in Edmonton.
I see. Now, what kind of work were, both families, either of your parents, doing in Edmonton?
Dad was owner of three laundries up there and dry cleaning plants. That,
mm-hmm,
was his business. And we'd moved from Cedar O'Woolley, where I was born, to Edmonton in 1912. I went through the first six grades of grade school in Edmonton.
I see. And how about your family?
Well, my father was a minister.
That's why
the wedding was notable.
How did they get, your parents, by the way, from England to Edmonton? I mean, what caused that?
Oh, well, they came from England to Ontario. And
to immigrate, that,
yes,
was their intent.
Yes, with my grandparents, my mother's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you were 3 months old?
Yes, I was 3 months,
uh-huh,
old at that point.
Do you know why?
Yes, I know why.
Months earlier.
the financial, my grandfather was a builder, and the financial situation in England at that period of 1910, 1911 was very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And was a depression type thing, and he lost all his money.
I see.
That's why.
Was there, again, I'm always curious about the reasons for picking a certain place.
Yeah, yeah. I do not know the reason they chose to go to Ontario over, let me say, the West Coast or something.
Yeah.
It could possibly have been a matter of money. I do not know that.
Mm-hmm. As far as you know, no connections, no relatives? Or
none whatever. None whatever.
So it's always so interesting.
Yeah.
Where people choose to do that. Okay, so then you moved here for, as you say, you'd been at the U of O, and you were still in, I'm trying to place you both in time here, you were still in Edmonton.
I went to the I was in the class of 1930 of University of Oregon.
Uh-huh.
So I went up to, but we went up to Edmonton in 1930.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't meet her until 1933.
Fall of 33.
Business. Mathematics, business, and accounting. And then we met up there. We went to the same church. I went to their church, and that's where we met.
I see.
Same bridge club.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, same bridge club.
So you would have been, a recent college graduate. And were you attending school in Edmonton?
Yes. I attended what would be called now a teacher's college, but it was called normal school at that time.
Right, right. Were you planning to be a teacher?
Yes.
And were you? See, I haven't gotten to this other part of the story yet. Were you a teacher?
For a very short time, jobs were extremely scarce at that point. And when I married, I no longer needed to look for a job. So it was only a very short period of time that I was involved in teaching.
What levels or grades did you teach, or subjects?
I was supposedly prepared to teach all 8 grades, you know, because
we had them back
they did not specialize as much in those days as they do now. But I much preferred the primary grades.
Mm-hmm.
That was my interest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then, let's see, moving, your folks that were already here, yours were still in Edmonton.
No, Paul's parents had moved up to
Edmonton.
They moved
up there from here.
Yeah, his business then was in
I
Edmonton.
Was
not from Beaverton,
way.
But from the Eugene area.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, because of that. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, did they stay there, and how long after did you come back this way?
Oh, well, we were married in 1934, and then 2 years later, Dad sold the business, so we...
1 year later.
1 year later. Yes, it was 1 year later.
No,
that's right.
Right after, not long after we were married.
Yeah, and that's right. And so we came down here to relocate, and Dad bought 10 acres out on Canyon Road there. Just 117th Street runs right straight through it.
As a matter of fact, the building that is now the Hawaiian Shop was the home and 10 acres that Paul's father bought.
I see. Now, did you, they moved first, and then you
followed.
We came down here in about October or November of that year, and then you came down in February.
February.
In February, and we've been here more or less ever since.
I imagine that was a difficult time to come in terms of the Depression.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
What were things like around here?
Well, they were pretty tight. We were doing some amateur farming, but I got a job as soon as I could up at B. Mailings in Hillsboro.
Mm-hmm.
Those days, we were working for 45 cents an hour or something like that, which is good enough to live on.
Now, what kind of work would you do there?
I did laboring work. I did pitching peas there for a couple of months, but when I did go to work there, I put in an application at the same time for office work. And they called me in about 2 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. And I've been in office work
indoors.
Ever since. Indoors and office work, which is what I was trained for.
Right, right.
And so I've been in that ever since.
I see. Now, where did you first move to when you came? Did you live with your folks? Or
no, we had 7 acres right beside them there.
I see.
Which was originally the Kokich property.
What's the
you
name?
You know Dick Kokich that runs the... teaches accordion in Beaverton?
Oh, yes.
That family
Okay.
owned 10 acres from Canyon Road back to Center Street, mm-hmm. right on where the freeway is now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where the freeway ran. And we bought the house and 7 acres. There was a creek ran back there. Beaver Creek runs back there. And they kept the back three on Center Street and built a home.
I see. I see. So did you immediately... That's a fair little piece of land. Did you set out to put in a big garden, or were you planning to do some...
Oh, yes, we had gardens. We had chickens, and we had rabbits.
We had a few years there, and then I got a job in Salem, so we sold it and moved to Salem.
I see.
With the Unemployment Compensation Commission, it was their first setup in 1936.
Eight.
1938. Then the war started. I was too old to get in, volunteered, but I was too old, and I went, so I decided I'd go into the shipyard. I thought that'd be patriotic, so I did it.
Where did you work in the shipyard?
Swan Island. I worked there through the war.
What did you do?
I was a ship fitter and went up to foreman.
Did you take training for that?
Yeah, we took training first.
I went
to school. And
I've been interviewing women who worked in the shipyards on another project I'm working on.
Yeah, we took training there. Then from then on, well, I was in the first, it was right at the very beginning, so we were in at the beginning of it, and the opportunities for advancements were good because they needed the, trained them in. I went from there to leader, to foreman, and assistant superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there for the war, and then I came, we lived in Portland at that time on Alberta Street, and we liked Beaver and we wanted to come back, so we moved back out here on 8th Street, and that was...
Not far from here.
No, it was right near. We've been here ever since.
On 8th between Watson and Main.
Right in this little area.
Yeah, and that was in 1944. 1944.
You were at the shipyards from probably, 42 to 44?
41.
41 you started.
Right at the very beginning.
Yeah. Now, were you at home, Mrs. Neff?
Yes.
With the children? Child? I am kept up, I guess, with that end.
Two by then.
In 1943, we had our second child. We have two boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was at home.
The first one was born in 36, 5? Seven?
Five.
Five.
Five, okay.
Five.
Once these again, I...
Day
yeah,
before
35.
Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. Spread rather far apart.
And Dawn is a teacher in Pendleton now, and Byron is a teacher here in the...
McKinley
High School.
McKinley School.
The grade school.
Looks like they got that interest in teaching maybe from you.
Who knows?
We didn't expect it.
Who knows?
Well, before we move into we've moved you very quickly through all these years to Beaverton, but I would like to know a little bit more about each of your families in terms of I don't know what to call this, how you pass time together, what your relationships were in the family. Did you each have brothers and sisters? How did you spend holidays? That kind of information. Did either of your mothers work outside the home, by the way?
No, not mine.
No.
Stayed home with the family?
Yeah.
And how many siblings did you have?
I have two sisters.
Uh-huh.
Of which I am the eldest.
I see. And how about you, Mr. Neff?
Well, let's see, I had two boys died in infancy that I know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
But I had one brother and one, two, three sisters, twin sister, and Pauline is my twin sister, and we're the only ones left in the family here. She lives in Beaverton also.
I see.
Now.
I see. I wonder if I have her name on my...
No, she hasn't been here that much.
Oh, my list. What did... I'm curious about what you might have expected when you were growing up in terms of where you thought you'd live or what kind of life you thought you'd have. I mean, did you think about particular jobs or schooling or, you know? marriages? I'm talking early, though. I mean, when you're very young.
Way back.
Way back.
Well.
What expectations did you have, and what maybe did your parents expect for you or want for you?
I guess my, when I was old enough to start thinking about what I thought I might like to do, I thought I would like to be a nurse. But my folks felt that I was not a strong enough individual to do this heavy
work.
Physically?
Yeah.
And so they kind of talked me out of it. It wasn't that strong a conviction, so I was talked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing, of course, I thought about doing was being a teacher. Mm-hmm. I went briefly to night school to take some bookkeeping, and it just absolutely went in one ear and out the other one. It didn't mean a thing to me. So I decided that was out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taken some typing and stuff, you know, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
when I was in college. But as to making a career of it, I never figured I would. And that actually is the career that I followed.
That's interesting.
That's another story.
Yes. Isn't it? It is strange. I never figured that I would, when I went to work, that was what I would be doing.
Now, when did you go to work?
I went to work for the Beaverton School District in Beaverton High School in 1955, October the 31st.
Just recently.
These peculiar dates
seem
to be my thing. February 29th and October the 31st. Yes, I went to work there as in the library in 1955. And I was there for about a year, and then I got moved downstairs to the office and was scared absolutely purple. And my boss has told me that, she said, "Now, just stop it." She said, "You don't have to be afraid of anything. You're smart enough. You can learn it. It's very simple," and she explained it. And I found out I could, with not much problem at all.
Was it a range of office work?
Originally, yes, it was, having to do with keeping payroll records and purchase orders,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. It was, at that point, it was just the Beaverton High School District.
Mm-hmm.
It was all separate at that point.
Yeah.
Then in 1960, when consolidation became effective, I was put in charge of the payroll, and I stayed there until I retired.
I see.
For the total district.
I was going to say consolidation meant a larger district.
It meant all of the surrounding. It means what is now the current school district.
I see.
At that point, of course, it was only one high school and several grade schools. We have expanded greatly.
Yeah.
There was the Barnes District and the McKay District and the McKinley District and the Cooper Mountain District and District 48, and they all became District 1948. That was in 1960 when that occurred, yeah.
Okay. And so, you stayed there and then until you retired, which was?
1973. In September 73.
Uh-huh. Well, now, how about your work history? We left you back at the shipyards, I think.
Yeah. Well, just before the armistice was signed, we moved out here, didn't we? We moved here in July of 1944. Back here.
Yeah.
And, pardon me, I got a frog. And I went to work for Ernie Masters in his accounting office.
Now,
Ernie Masters. He isn't living now.
No, the firm was Masters and Bergren.
It was Ernie Masters when I started.
Yes, but she would know it as Masters and Bergren.
And that's an accounting firm?
She wouldn't know it. Anyway, I went, and I worked for them for about a year. And then Lyle Cobb wanted me to work for him, so we talked it over, and I changed and did that. Am I sorry?
It's all right.
It just came
it's
on me.
It's a nuisance.
Go get a drink.
Maybe I better.
That's a question.
So then I started with Lyle in September of 1945. Mm-hmm. Office manager and all of that, doing all the books. Mm-hmm. And I stayed with him for near 20 years. And in 62, I changed, just got restless, I guess. Who knows? And took smaller jobs and took it easy and eased off until 71 when I retired.
Mm-hmm.
In accounting work.
Uh-huh.
No, I did accounting work at different firms.
You would just kind of freelance, in other words.
Freelancing is about right. Most of it was for Wright Concrete.
Mm-hmm. You had a year. Couldn't be 1962. It was 1965.
Exactly, no, 62.
20 years.
62. 18. I say almost 20 years.
Oh.
Then I was with the city as finance director of the city of Beaverton for a couple of years, 3 years. I'm not exactly sure of the date, 65, 67, right in there.
Something like that, yeah. I don't remember either.
Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember exactly. I can remember the days and all that. But
I think there's one thing that should go down on this tape, and that is the fact that you were the mayor of Beaverton at one time, too.
Oh, well, that was a long, long time ago.
You know, this is history.
Really? Yeah. Now, when was that?
Well, that was in 48 and 49. It was way back.
Oh, yeah.
The city was very small then.
Let's see, it was incorporated.
Oh, well, it was incorporated in 1870, 83.
80-something, I think.
Yeah.
I knew it was.
Yeah,
I knew it had been
way back.
Separate thing. So how did you get to be mayor?
Well, I was on the council.
Mm-hmm.
And I was president of the county, what they call president of the county, the council. Chairman is what it amounts to.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler was the mayor, and then he moved to Tigard.
Mm.
And that automatically put me in as mayor, so I was mayor for a year and a half, something of that type.
He moved during his term?
Mm-hmm. It only been about 6 months, and he moved.
Mm.
So that automatically put me in as mayor. And
What did your duties consist of then?
Oh, then it was very little. We only met once a month, and it was I can't remember too many of the names. Clayton. I can't remember too many of the names
of the council
back then. But we only met once a month. It was a very nice city. It was at hard times in the city then. That was in the time when the city was burdened with a lot of unpaid taxes and tax lots.
Mm-hmm.
They were short of money and
somehow
couldn't collect them, and they were retaken back. And that's the beginning of quite a bit of people getting a good deal on city lots. There wasn't very much of a city here then.
I was going to ask what it was like generally when you first moved
The population was less than 2,500 because when I first came in, because while I was mayor, the state allowed a 5-year estimated population growth according to, I believe it was to combination of water customers and electric light customers.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a pretty good close estimate. And we went over 2,500 population. So
that would have been, 48?
48 it would be. And probably was. Might have been 49 by then. And that gave us more money from the gasoline taxes and et cetera that we received according to population. And that's about all that pulled us through, was to be able to get that extra. But we were starting to grow then, and the one thing that we did that I feel good about was the fact that while I was mayor, we did put through the sewer bit, and we got sewers put in to the city. Mm-hmm. Never had them before that.
About that.
And
That
was 49.
'49.
So we started building, putting in a sewer system at that time.
Uh-huh. Now before that, no sewers.
No sewers.
Septic tanks.
Septic tanks, yes. Uh-huh. Even this house has a septic did have originally a second big tank. It was built in
47.
His house.
And yeah, it so that was quite an improvement there. We didn't have. I remember one thing. I never did. I went around and around trying to find this out. Well, I couldn't find when we first moved here, back here in 44, when I was mayor, that we had one complete block that had a sidewalk on all four round sides of it. Even downtown, there was no block that was completed with a sidewalk all around four blocks. So it was a small place, and very pleasant, and everybody knew everybody.
I imagine.
And it was nice then. It's changed.
That's what everyone tells me. Now, why would people have come here rather than if they didn't have a specific job in right in the area? Why would they live here rather than Portland? Why would they move here at that time, at the time you did?
For the same reason that they still do. They do not like to live in the city. And it was easy to buy an acre or two of ground around this area. And also, this was the city, the town itself was very friendly and very quiet. And it had, at that time even, it had easy access to Portland.
Yes.
Through the original Canyon Road.
Right.
Two-lane highway.
But it was fine.
Yeah.
It's good now. You couldn't even start to get out of Portland, Beaverton, out of Portland if you had that old two-lane highway winding up the canyon.
Not anymore.
Sure. That, now, the old Canyon Road was in a different place, wasn't it?
It's buried under the new one.
What I was speaking of is buried under the new one.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if there had been another.
No, it just.
There is a road called Old Canyon Road, isn't there? Up the hill further.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I think that was the original one.
Okay, now maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
West Slope,
I think
somewhere.
So. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Paralleling.
Right. Right.
You're right.
It
was not TV Highway at that time.
No, I'm sure of that. Yeah, right.
No. No, this town changed. In fact, 7th, Hall Street stopped right there at 7th.
How about that?
That was the end of the
street.
That
was the end of the,
yes,
the area, basically.
Yes, and Hall Street didn't cross the railroad track either. It was the only crossings on the railroad track in town was, well, I don't know about Cedar Hill, Lombard and Watson. And Thrifty's store was there at Hall, where Hall is now, and they would donate the street in order to put it across. It took about 2 or 3 years to fight the state PUC to allow us to go across that railroad. They were dead against it. Guy Carr was the head of that, and he was the one that sparked getting that crossing. They didn't want a crossing there.
Any reason did they give?
Well, they never liked to have any more crossings on the railroad than possible, and there was no street. There was no street from Broadway on. Was it completed between Broadway? Must have been completed. But
yeah,
anyway, it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, Broadway
it was,
went run out, out to Canyon Road.
Yeah, but I mean from Broadway to Canyon Road.
Betts, the one. One across from Hollins. What is the name of that little short street? It was completed.
That's where, East Street.
East Street was cut through.
Yes.
And we used to call it the Y, where Broadway came into the Canyon Road, and there used to be right at the joining there. There used to be a little streetcar restaurant.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of those.
Like a diner.
Yeah, a little diner.
Diner.
Little diner.
Quite nice there.
Would you, I know there were a few businesses like that and some of the others in the main old part of downtown. Is that where you would generally go and shop and do your business?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. All these years, yeah.
How much connection did you feel or did you have to Portland? How often would you go there?
Oh, I used to go about maybe perhaps once a week because anything that you needed other than groceries, meats, and small, household supplies of that kind, you went to Portland to buy. And you'd take the bus from downtown or go drive in, either way. You could take the Greyhound into right downtown by Myron Frank and get off and get back on, go out to the bus depot and get back on again, It was real easy.
Yeah, there was no big department stores out here
at all in
those days.
No shopping centers or anything like that.
Yeah, they came.
Let's see, who was here at the time? There was, Hollins was still here.
Oh, yes, Hollins.
Hollins was here at that point, and they were primarily a feed store. I don't recall if they had any particular interest in garden plants and things like they do now. They may have, but I can't remember for sure. And Beaverton Drug Store was here, but it was in a different location.
Across the street.
Mm-hmm. Across the street. The building, the restaurant on the east side of Hall and south corner there, Broadway. What do they call it now? The Italian restaurant. It has been a restaurant for years. It was a restaurant at that time. And I think Safeway was located in the building where Beaverton Drug Store
that's
is.
That's right. And Columbia Market was down there.
Columbia Market was...
Well, that was in Watson, wasn't it?
No, it was down by the Y. Nowhere in the world.
Yeah, Columbia Market, where for the...
The Y
and... Where, no, where the...
Oh, the Y and the road.
Approximately where Safeway is located now, uh-huh. I think, but I'm not positive. I went down there so seldom.
Uh-huh.
And then I think Smith's Jewelry was here, or there was a jewelry store.
Smith's
was here.
How about the bakery?
Yes, the Beaverton Bakery was here.
Same place.
Uh-huh.
Same, you betcha.
And at the foot of Watson Street...
Guy Carr's garage
with
was
Guy
there.
With Guy Carr's garage mm-hmm. at that point.
Richie's and Hardware was there.
The tavern that
is still there.
The tavern that is east of that building. What is it called
that,
now?
It's the library tavern.
Library tavern
mm-hmm.
now?
Mm.
It was called Thines. Thynges.
Mm.
Thines. And they were an old family around here. That tavern was there.
Sounds he was an ex-mayor too, wasn't he?
Mr. Fine?
I think he was.
I think so.
Yeah.
Sounds Scandinavian.
Yeah, they've been here years and years and
yeah,
years.
Yeah, they were here.
A lot longer
they
than
I
us.
Think they were
we aren't
native
too very
to the air, I think almost. Or so. They may not have been, but very, very close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Richie's Hardware was here then.
Katie Building, of course, was here at that point.
You can get a sense in that, I mean, if you look at it in a certain way downtown, you get a sense of
the apartments, the building where the apartments are across the street from Beaverton Drug.
Uh-huh.
That building was there.
Oh yeah, those buildings
both
haven't
buildings
changed.
Those buildings have all been there, and there have been apartments. In the corner where, on the corner of Watson and Farmington, where that I think it's sort of a gift shop now.
Watson and Farmington.
Well, that's Katie Building.
It's the Katie Building, but the right at the store on the corner. Where they used to, they have. Do they still have Abbott and Costello out by the front door?
Yeah.
I forget what it's called, but anyway,
I don't know that one.
That one at that point was a dry goods store when
mm-hmm.
we first came here.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became a grocery store.
Yeah.
It certainly sounds like not only was it a small town, but you knew all your merchants.
Oh yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. And during the war, the. We shopped most of the time at Thrifty,
mm-hmm.
which was the store on the corner of Hall and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
During the war when things were rationed for their regular customers, if they had any sugar left over or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
you could get it.
Mm-hmm.
And little things like that. Who
yeah.
they were, their regular customers were treated specially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Made it kind of nice.
Yes, I imagine for those
especially
of you who were the regular
things.
Customers.
Yeah, good old rationing.
Oh, how was that? Reminds me of gas, and I know that was one of the things that was rationed. How did that affect? I mean, how much would you drive in this? In this area in the first place, and how...
At that time?
Yeah.
Well, of course, we had coupons. You just
mm-hmm.
had so much gas, and at that time we were... Well, let's see, we were out here after the coupons were gone. We were in Portland at the shipyard, so we pooled cars.
Yeah.
I rode with four other fellas in a car,
uh-huh.
and we pooled that, but we had very little gas then. And we then didn't take point, any trips.
Yeah.
And then downtown Portland, I used buses all
right,
the time.
Right, right.
When we lived in town.
Would you, when you lived out here, I don't know, people's habits change over time, but take Sunday drives out the other way towards the west or in the hills or something like that? I mean, was that a fairly common thing to do in the late 40s?
Oh, yeah.
And we went all the byways and back roads of Beaver.
We used to love to go to
the
Tigard because what is now Hall Boulevard at that time was a very nice rural road.
Ah, I see. Which went all the way.
Same road.
As it goes right now.
Yeah.
Only it wasn't, I forget at that point what they, it was called Highway 217 at that point.
Yeah, that was 217.
Uh-huh. That was 217. Uh-huh. Now it's called Hall Boulevard.
Yeah, and maybe has a number too, which I can't remember. I'm not sure.
No, no number.
It has no
number.
It's just Hall Boulevard.
Okay.
Stopped.
Out to Tigard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when do you feel like things started changing in terms of more people coming in or not knowing your neighbors so well or different kinds of neighbors? What were your neighbors like and where did they come from generally?
Well, we moved in this house in 57. We've been here since 57. Mm-hmm. And this, practically every house on this street used to be lived in by owners. It's gradually changed so that there's about 50-50 now. But I think the big change came about, I would say, to me, about 65, something.
I was going to say in the 60s, it began to make an impression on you.
Mm-hmm. That things were changing.
Yes.
That the place was changing.
Yeah. Like, for instance, we would go out Canyon Road to, you know, the Benz Park area?
Uh-huh.
There used to be one house out there, and it had a blue roof. And we'd always, that was a landmark for us. And then pretty soon, some more houses began to come. And then they built the Benz Park District. And you just saw these gradual things, coming. And it didn't make all that difference in the beginning to you. But then all of a sudden, they started improving roads, and then it's when it hit you.
Mm.
Then they start putting in signal lights and
widening.
Signal lights.
Oh, yeah. Built a new one. And I remember when they were going to do Canyon Road, they were going to fill it all in. We, the people that were familiar with it, including us, were very upset. It's such a beautiful scenic drive out of the city. And we were so certain that they were going to ruin that. Absolutely positive they were going to ruin it.
Uh-huh.
And we'd go into town and we'd see this, look down below where they filled it in, and then all these, that earth and all the trees gone down below. And it was quite traumatic for us. Of course, we proved wrong because it's still beautiful.
It still is.
Yes.
But you're right, I think. I mean, an old road versus one that's widened and has businesses along it and is noisier.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah, but I was thinking of the canyon itself, down from below, east of Sylvan.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the particular spot where, and below Omsey, in through that area in there, where it's still so lovely and non-commercial. It won't ever be commercial, I don't think.
That's right. I hope too. Yeah. How about businesses changing things? I've heard that, of course, Tektronix coming made a difference in terms
tremendous
of
difference.
Oh, yes.
Number of people and so on, and shopping centers also. When did they make a mark on you? I guess when they came in.
Oh yes, where the Beaverton Mall is, of course, is where the airport used to be, and that was Bernard's Airport. Was there for a long time.
How about that? Kind of a municipal airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And oh, yes, because that meant a change where you didn't need to go into Portland at all.
That's right.
When the bigger department stores came out here,
made a
big change. Oh, it's...
You feel like that...
big city stuff now.
Yes, that's right. And I know, and generally the story when that happens is that people quit identifying with the nearest big city. Did you find that to be true?
Oh, definitely.
For you?
We don't go in very often anymore.
Yeah.
just on special occasion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've actually shopped in the city of Portland for over a year.
Uh-huh.
I go to Washington Square.
Sure.
Or anywhere else, practically, but mostly. Mostly, we have substituted Washington Square.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Meyer and Frank has always been the department store that we favored.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
there.
Yeah. That's right.
That brings to mind, you know, not only, I guess, when a suburban, what has become a suburban area grows in this way, then you not only stop identifying so much with the biggest city that's nearby, but maybe at that same time you start really conceiving of where you live as a distinctive area, which mm-hmm. the residents of Portland would be less likely to do about Beaverton.
Yeah, they would. That's right. No, this is a center point around here in this valley. And it's getting big.
What are the limits of the
city limits
or something? That I don't know.
Frankly, I don't know. When we came here, it was Allen Avenue.
Yeah.
That was Allen, was the south boundary, and the creek was the north boundary. You can't hardly find a creek now, but that was it. And 145th, I don't think it even went to 145th.
Oh, I don't think so.
It was soon after the 145th.
St. Mary's would have been
out.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Out.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And that's
at
148th.
Well, it's on the corner of 145th. And then
45th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Murray Road is 145th.
Uh-huh.
And Oak Arcee wasn't over here very far, just about on the other side of Lombard. I think about 100 feet on the other side of Lombard was the other city limit at the time.
Mm. So
very, very, very small.
Yeah, very small. Well, I imagine when the city's incorporated, and maybe you know this, that the limits have to legally change for incorporation purposes. I mean, you can't have this little part incorporated and then all this out here, can you? They would have had to enlarge the city limits, I would imagine.
Frankly, I don't know.
I don't think you... isn't it a matter of annexation? Taxes?
I'm sure that's part of it, yeah. Yeah. I don't know the details, but I'm just...
I don't either.
...guessing that a larger part of the area is now considered the city of Beaverton for taxing.
It goes it goes for miles.
Yeah.
Oh, now, of course, it's big.
It goes for miles
large.
Now.
Yeah. Goes down to Shoals Ferry Road and goes up to Walker Road there and goes over to... How far is it over there?
Oh, goodness. I don't know how far over there it goes.
The other side of the highway.
East or west, I don't know.
The other side of 270.
Another side of 145th, yeah. Uh-huh. Other side of 270.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big area now. Big city.
Yeah.
It isn't a nice place it used to be.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask how you felt about the changes. And other than growth, I mean, how do you characterize them? Do you feel like... new kinds of people came in that perhaps you didn't have so much in common with, or what makes the difference besides sheer numbers?
It's not the numbers so much, because of course we've been in this area. we've gone to the Congregational Church all the time, and so therefore our friends have been at that gathering point.
Mm-hmm.
And
have your friends stayed in the area, by the way? Your old friends. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are they still neighbors, or have they moved?
No, they've moved some. Like, we've moved a couple of times.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't in the last 20 years, but then...
You lived on 8th from 44?
Yeah.
And then to 57?
No.
No, no.
No. Let me think a minute.
Yeah, you got the dates better than I have. 55.
40, we were 44, and I think it was about 1949, we moved out to a house in Aloha on 185th and Blanton. And we were there until 53, and then we moved back to a piece of property across the street from Grandma's Table.
Wow.
And then we were there for until we moved back
57.
Here to this house in 1957. But we have been within the area
mm-hmm.
since 1936,
mm-hmm.
excepting for those two brief absences of being in Eugene and Portland.
Right.
Salem.
Salem. Oh, Salem, yeah.
But as far as the change of people is concerned, I think where it affects me most is in our church. With the growth of the population, of course, the church has grown.
Where and is the church, by the way?
Over there on the corner of 7th and Watson.
Okay. Sure, I passed it.
Yeah, came in and turned there.
The congregation has grown, and the congregation has changed. Many of the people that we knew at that when we were younger and more active in the church are now dead.
Mm-hmm. Or moved.
Not so many of them have moved as died. Because they were older than us, you know, 20
sure.
or so years more. And
you have always gone to this church,
yes.
by the way. And has it always been there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh.
You
as
don't
far.
Know as many people
sure.
as you used to do.
Yeah.
I think this area is most fortunate in the type of people that have moved out here, speaking in a general sense. Because for the most part, they are pretty well educated people, and that makes a considerable difference
when you
to
say
your area.
When I was going to ask, when you say they moved out here, do you mean from Portland or from wherever?
From wherever,
uh-huh.
from wherever they moved, and
uh-huh.
coming in. Goodness, they come in from all over the place
mm-hmm.
to take white collar executive
Manage.
Jobs
mm-hmm.
in the area.
Mm-hmm. At these various
because yes,
Tech and Nike and
this is right.
Yeah,
the type of industry that's come out here calls for that sort of individual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we're very fortunate in having a progressive, and this is a progressive city, next to some others that you can think about.
Uh huh. In terms of what it does for its citizens
and what the citizens are willing to
do
for the
it.
City.
Uh-huh, I see.
Too.
I see.
You know, in terms of passing. Bonds and also you bonds
right.
or taxes and that sort of thing.
Right, that's a good point.
That's true.
Yeah.
You have your people who are dissatisfied with everything that's happening naturally
within the city. You mean
within the
yeah.
city?
Yeah.
But this is to be expected.
Mm-hmm. But generally, you've been pleased. In other words, despite the growth, with the quality of people that are.
I have.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether Paul's
How
even
you?
Thought about it.
Oh no! I think the quality. Yes, it should be all right. I don't like Beaverton nearly as much as I used to because it's grown so much. The traffic is terrific now.
That's nostalgia.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, especially right now because so much is torn up and they're working on it.
Terrific.
That doesn't bother me a bit because progress is always going to be that way, and. But I didn't like to see it grow big. I liked the little town. I still like to be in a little town.
Mm-hmm.
Still
mm-hmm.
would like to go back to 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000.
Well, you know, some people make that their pattern. They'll just constantly keep moving out and away. But
yeah.
there
yeah.
also is a point where that's hard to do, I know.
Well, it
now
it
can.
Very definitely is hard to do. And the older that I get, the more... it means to me to remain in a place with which I'm very familiar,
mm-hmm.
amongst old friends, and all of the things that are there in this area, close by, for
mm-hmm.
us to do.
Sure, sure.
And this means a great deal.
Yeah, and as you say, your church. I mean, that is something that I think changes for some people, is if they don't care for the congregation that they're
well,
the,
involved yes, this
so much
yeah,
anymore.
That would hurt.
This is very
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that would hurt.
This is very true.
Yeah.
It's you have to like your minister, and you have
yes.
to like, generally, you have to like the people that are involved in
mm-hmm.
the church.
Mm-hmm.
Even
true.
Though you may not know them very well
yeah.
anymore,
yeah.
you still have to like them.
Well, between the church and the Stewart Center, we got enough to keep us busy.
The what center?
Well, it's the senior center.
Senior
oh,
center.
The senior center.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, what do you do there?
Keep busy.
Whatever there is to be done.
Is this in terms of... just participating or running it or both?
Well, okay.
Well, participating. It's all
and
all
also,
volunteer
who's
work.
It, whose senior center is it? Is it a city or?
No, it belongs to the 12 Hills Park and Recreation District.
I see.
it is owned and operated by them. Well, Paul's involved in the Loaves and Fishes program that is operative over there. And I'm involved with the Senior Adult Advisory Committee, which is the Total Center, including... It is a committee that tries to coordinate what people want and what the director wants and that type of stuff.
I see. In terms of programs and activities?
Not programs and activities, policies more.
Policies
more. And, of course, Bethel Church is also... has a group that volunteers to serve the Loaves and Fishes one day a month, which we help do. Mm-hmm. And then we participate in classes and activities and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, two areas of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Are there people there that you either have known a long time or other long-time residents?
Oh, yeah, same people
yes.
there, too.
Yeah.
Answer to both questions, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Figured that.
Oh, yeah. But it's a very easy place to get acquainted.
That's good. I was going to say, I didn't want you to get sunburned there.
Get the sun up there. Out of my eyes.
Well, that leads to an area of questions that I might ask. What your political interests and activities are, if any, local or regional or community?
Oh, political...
if any, I said.
I've worked with Jack Nelson on city politics.
Sit over here. Sit over
no,
here.
No, I just want to miss that.
There you go.
Something, that's what I want. That's about as far as politics are concerned. We don't go too much on
no,
politics.
No, we're not politically minded people. Mm-hmm. We always vote. We don't skip that privilege. We vote on everything. Mm-hmm. And but as far as being involved in political committees and things like that, no.
What are these city politics kind of things that your various issues that come up or?
No, we haven't done too much on the issues actually. As far as participation is concerned, I've been on the committee to re-elect Jack Nelson. That's all.
I see.
So that really doesn't.
Well, that counts.
Campaign committee.
Yeah, that counts as
not,
political
not
interest
much.
To me.
Well, it's not a dead issue with us, but it is not a vital issue.
Right. Well, I don't run across too many people, to be honest, who really. Have a lot. I mean, they may get involved with a local campaign or a referendum issue or something like that comes along. But that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was actually curious about, and your work with the senior center made me think of it. Because sometimes that could certainly raise some.
Well, we try to keep the politics out of the senior center, so that's, and we've succeeded in it. It's non-political.
Mm-hmm.
Has to.
Oh, definitely.
Has to be.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
I was thinking, too, though, of if there are state bills that came up regarding funding for senior centers or something like that.
That would be, anyone who is interested in that then would be working through the Area Agency on Aging and the county.
That's right.
That, this, yes, a lot of the senior members have been involved in that. We've both been members of the Area Agency on Aging.
It is the Area Agency
on Aging.
Yes.
I always get tongue-tied on that.
Well, it's
we've been members of that committee, both of us, but our terms are up, so we're not particularly active in it, you know, as such anymore at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a section called Philosophy, and the first question I think you've already answered, but... I'll run it by you in case you have anything else to say about it. How strongly do you identify with Beaverton?
Well, as far as now is concerned, I'd say everything is Beaverton.
We don't plan to move away.
Right. I had that feeling. It clearly is your city and your area,
yeah,
for want of a better word.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt on that, I'm afraid.
Yeah. I'm always interested in old areas that have become suburban, in a sense, how they retain their identity from each other. Cedar Mill next to, you know, and just driving down the major streets, you hardly know if you're in one or another.
Yeah, and that's right.
And yet the residents
do.
Clearly.
Yes, definitely they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that can be defined a great deal by the school attendance area.
Yeah.
I think that has a great deal to do with it. The school in that particular area has this particular attendance area, which generally conforms to the original area of Cedar Mill, we would say, for instance, generally speaking. Of course, it's enlarged, but I think that has a lot to do with it.
I think you're right. That's how people initially will, you know, connect and identify.
Yeah.
How, I haven't even asked you about the schools here. How did you feel about them, your children going there? How did they seem to change over time, the schools, that is?
Improved.
Oh, yes.
Oh, definitely.
We've never had any dissatisfaction with the system at all.
Uh-huh.
I think Beaverton has an excellent school system.
Uh-huh. And has since you've been here?
Oh, yeah. It was good when we were there. The man who was principal when we first moved here, man who was principal at that time was called Mike Metzler. And his philosophy was to run an academic school, or if you want to put it another way, a cheap school, because academically this is the cheapest type of a system to run, because you have no shops and
none of this extra expensive equipment. Does academic mean
for college entrance?
College entrance.
Correct.
This is correct.
I see.
This is absolutely right. And then as the area enlarged, of course, it became understood that a broader program was needed,
mm-hmm.
because more people were coming, more students were there who were not college-minded students. And this is one of the reasons
the
for
vocational.
This is the vocational side.
Well, it was only one high school and less than 500 students.
500 students on total school population.
Yeah.
Quite small.
Makes a difference.
Sure.
He was an excellent principal.
He died recently, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I remember reading about him.
Yeah.
Mike was quite a man.
He was principal for a long time?
Yes, I don't know how many years.
Well, he started in the 20s.
Did he?
Started in the 20s, yeah, you remember that. That was before Amaret and Bee were here.
When they were there.
Yeah, he was there in the 20s, and I guess he retired in about 60s? Or no, it was before consolidation.
Oh yes, before consolidation, because Mr. Herbert Armstrong was the superintendent of Beaverton High School when I went to work in 55. So
that's right.
I think Mike retired in 53.
53, that's right.
Yeah, because we had Mr. Colley for a year, and then Mr. Armstrong was there approximately a year when I went to work.
He was. Mm-hmm.
Approximately about 1953, I think, Mr. Metzler retired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's quite a time then until he died.
He's a pretty old man.
Yeah.
He lived over here on Lombard.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
All year, same house.
He just kept busy with his real estate deals and investments,
mm-hmm.
and... his interest in the lodge. He was in the Masonic Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
He had his old cronies there, and they had a grand old time.
Are there a number, or have there been a number of those kind of fraternal organizations that have been had a Beaverton chapter for a while?
Quite a number.
Elks, the Eagles.
The Elks. They formed in about 19... What was the year? 50... 50-something. The Odd Fellows have been there at the opposite the grade school there for a long time.
I don't know when the Beaverton chapter of the Odd Fellows was. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Let's see, what other
Masonic temple has been there for...
Well, it was here when we...
Long time.
Many, many years. I don't know for how many.
They tended to... I mean, whenever you see a real old building sometimes, it's the old... has the old mason...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, you see a lot of them.
Really come in early.
I don't remember any other time when the Mason was Masonic Temple wasn't where it is now.
I don't either. Mm-hmm.
Nope. Well, I think you've answered this too, but I'll ask it anyway.
Okay.
What do you think of as your major contributions to the community?
Just being here, I guess.
Oh, don't be so modest.
I really cannot say that. I don't. I really couldn't.
Well, what do you
give an answer to that?
What do you think you've offered? I guess, offered. Or I was going to say provided, but that's.
We haven't done a great deal. If you talk about volunteering services or anything like that, we haven't done anything much in that way. I think our biggest contribution might be that we've been staunch backers of Beaverton. We haven't created any ways, but we haven't done any great big thing either.
We haven't performed any big service, any heroic service.
We haven't done anything of any note, really.
I think we've quietly, perhaps would be the word, supported most of the things that the city of Beaverton has.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I'm meaning.
Like projects that they have proposed,
uh-huh.
Most of them.
Uh-huh. Just in terms of the city's growth and that sort of. I think people would be hard pressed to. I mean, can you point to people in the community that you think have performed heroically for the city, have really gone that extra mile?
Well, yes, I can think, but he's dead now. I was thinking of Earl Fisher. What about Guy Carr?
Yeah, I think Guy Carr, of course, as a businessman and a leader, is really one of the tops. I really think so.
He has been here for so many years, and has done a great deal for the city.
That's what I heard. I've met him, actually.
I think... I think Fran has done quite a bit too.
Fran Holbrook?
Yeah.
Yes, he's done a lot.
Yeah, he's.
How do you spell that? His last name?
H-O-L.
H-O-L-B-O-K-E, I think.
Oh,
Holbrook.
He's been here. Well, he's the one that's thrifty. He's the one that made it possible for us to make the crossing on Hall Street. He donated the. That was all parking lots, you remember?
That was a combination of Fran and. Oh,
well,
dear.
Yeah.
What was his name now? The father of the man who owns Keel's.
Keel's now. Otto Keel.
Otto Keel.
His son.
He and Fran Holbrook were partners in the Thrifty Grocery Store at that time.
Uh-huh.
And Otto, when the store was sold, the partnership split up, Otto went, I think, to Hood River.
And then Hood River or Cascade Locks.
In that
other
area, up the gorge.
Uh-huh.
And his son, I think, had the first time we heard about it was he had a couple of grocery stores in Vancouver, Washington.
Right,
yeah.
Which he still does.
And now he's moved over here, back in the area.
Yeah.
But Fran, he's got the Thrifty Wash on Cedar Hill Boulevard. He owns it, Thrifty Wash. No, he's been a big man in town. So has Frank Holland's Feet.
Oh yeah,
the Holland's family.
Holland Company.
They're big. Mm-hmm. They've been big people in town and very beneficial.
It's interesting that I don't know a lot of the names of the real old timers, but I do know that there was a group, an earlier kind of immigrant and rural, farm group, and then there's this business.
Mm-hmm.
The later development of the business group, kind of the movers and shakers of the community.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Some of both are still here, clearly.
Oh, yes. The Fano family, the Denny family.
Uh-huh.
They were rural.
Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees.
That's right.
Horseradish people.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yes, they were the
kind of
the
two generations within the community. I was wondering. I know you were in Portland during the war, but since I've had this other research going on about the war, I always think about this. Was that also a period of growth in some ways, or change of the kind of people that were in this area generally? Would you say in Portland? I know that was true, but I'm curious whether. I know you lived in Portland then, but whether you sensed it after the war, many more people stayed in Portland from all over.
They did out here.
They did out here too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because this is inevitable, because those people who like Paul were too old or whatever or female to get in the armed forces, their patriotic duty was the shipyards. And they came from all over.
Portland was certainly a big center
of
shipbuilding activity.
Yeah.
And I've heard a number of the women I've interviewed have commented on the fact that they've met so many people from, or they themselves came from different parts of the country, you know, and without just knowing that there were fairly well-paying jobs in the shipyards.
Yeah.
There's an influx here. A lot of people from the Middle East. Middle West came for that reason.
Yeah. I was just thinking.
But it didn't affect Beaverton too terribly much, except Beaverton had always, of course, been known as the bedroom of Portland.
Yeah.
And it always, although we're getting to be, there's going to be spots now that are bedroom of Beaverton, pretty near.
That's right.
We're getting that big, you know.
Getting to be.
Betcha. That's right. Aloha, for instance, and the Tektronix people. And. Cedar Hills is that way too, so that we've just advanced one step up and these people have come in on it, but I don't see any lowering of the standards of people though, really. I really haven't.
How do you think what do you see for the future of this area and yourselves in it?
Oh no, not us in it. We won't be in it long.
Well, we'll be for
out.
A while. I would guess. I mean, do you see any major...
I think what frightens me more than anything else is the conflict that is still going on between the arable farmland and the development interests. I'm afraid that they'll be hurting themselves in the long run by allowing so much arable farmland to be turned over to development. I know they say, they have to have some place to live. But there's other land that is not as arable. Mm-hmm. And that the reason that the farmers are in the closer in are wanting to develop their properties, of course it's for money, but it's also a matter of taxes.
That's right.
They are not they're not given a tax break to remain as farmland.
Especially
the small farmers.
Bigger.
That's right.
Bigger ones.
And would you, the difference that we notice particularly in that is the distance we now have to travel to get you pick fruit.
It's a good measure.
It's a good measure.
Yeah.
Years and years and years, we used to just be able to go up to the Wilson Farm on Allen Avenue in the corner of 185th up there, get all the fruit there we needed,
45th.
And all the garden 45th. Produce you could want, 145th, Allen and 145th, that whole Wilson Park area.
Mm-hmm. And now where do you go?
Now,
other side of Aloha.
Cornelius. Or other side of
Hillsboro.
Aloha. Hillsboro.
River Road.
Out in that.
Yeah, that is a good... indicator for sure. And
it's growing up too, if you notice that River Road is getting to be just about...
Well, you drive out when you said didn't you say you lived where Aloha is now? I don't know what was in Aloha while you were mayor part of that time?
No, he lived here when he was mayor.
Okay, for a short time lived over that way.
On 185th, which is the main track right through.
Yeah, and I don't know what was there. Then
houses,
just houses, but obviously not development like.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh no! It's grown tremendously since then. Yeah. That's right.
But even to me, to hear the word Aloha means picturing that kind of 185th and the and all the, you know, developed.
Yes, but it wasn't. It wasn't at that point when we lived.
Well, there used to be a little place called Tobias past there. Do you remember it? Do you know of it?
No, I don't think
you don't
so.
Know of it anymore. You see, it's about the next light beyond the Lord.
198, I think.
Something like that.
Tobias Pass.
It used to be Tobias Station.
Tobias Station, and there used to be a sign up there, the city of Tobias. Well, like a city sign, you know, Tobias.
Uh-huh.
Don't see it anymore. It's gone.
I used to have a... never had a post office that we ever knew of.
No.
But I did at one time, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and then there was... Then there's Reedville. See, Reedville's getting all swallowed up.
Uh-huh. I've seen some old maps that have, you know, essentially little intersections that have names on
mm-hmm.
them. And the man who was showing me these maps, I said, well, are these still there? You know, where are these? And he said, well, they are to some extent, but not with those names.
Not
with the
names.
Separate.
No, not with the names.
The intersection may still be there, or an old building may still be there.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
It, yeah.
Reedville's still there, definitely, but it's disappeared.
No.
Its identity's gone.
So they're lost in the
shuffle. Do you feel that danger in Beaverton, or do you feel that that's happened?
I think it's already.
Oh,
happened.
It's swallowed up. Beaverton
yeah.
swallowed up all the practically all the good land around here.
How would you characterize the identity of Beaverton now?
Characterize the identity.
Yeah. If the old identity is gone, is it?
Well, the identity is
little community.
Is what now is it? It's a city rather than a small town.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
It is now a city.
Growing city.
And as such, doesn't have that identity, is that right?
It doesn't have the characteristics of a small town. It doesn't have the feeling of a small town.
No.
It has now become a city, an impersonal entity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you foresee that continuing, I take
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, yes, I do, because...
Well, there's this... The shopping center up here did a lot. Now you see Fred Meyer's shopping center is going over here, and there's a new one going up 145th and Allen, where you see we're pulling away from the center. We're just spreading out at the edges, and
mm-hmm.
getting farther away all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this area through here, Central Beaverton, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Will eventually, I am sure, become multiple dwelling.
Mm-hmm. I would guess also maybe office building, office space to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
We're not that far from
business. It's right on a bus line.
Yeah.
Well, you see that you see those new offices over here, and you see the one the city's going to build, and the one beyond that they are planning. Oh, yes.
I was thinking from Broadway this direction.
Mm-hmm.
Clear to Allen,
mm-hmm.
this whole center
it might.
On the,
well, in
on
time.
The highways is going to be...
Time it will. I don't think we'll see it ourselves.
It's going to be
really.
Multiple
mm-hmm.
the next 25 years.
No.
Maybe less, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Has the tax base generally kept up with the growth here,
with
do you think?
Never
yes,
done.
Yes.
I know it never does, but...
yes, our taxes have gone up about 5 times. And
she said tax base.
Tax base. Oh, well, tax base doesn't, but then the tax, she means
taxes do.
Yeah, taxes do, I know that's
tax base, no, it goes up 6% a year.
But in terms of, you've talked before about the services generally being... good. I mean, do you think is that the case now still?
Oh yes, I really think their city services are good. Yeah, I think so. As a city, as what we expect from fire and police and water and electricity and the take care of the roads and take care of the progress of the streets and traffic. Yeah, they put in all these lights and everything. That's progress.
It
slows
progress.
You down, but it's progress. Keeps traffic under control.
It's not. I don't want to sound as though I think this is this area is the greatest thing on earth. It isn't. It has its drawbacks. But compare it to many other places that we've heard about and seen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, what do you feel strawbacks are related to the growth now?
Well, largely.
Yeah.
Largely.
Yeah.
And all its attendant problems.
Yeah.
Because you have an increased crime rate. You have all of these things that happen when you get your area gets large.
That's right.
Then you're going to have all the good things are going to be increased, but all the bad things are going to be increased in proportion.
You have more of everything.
Yes,
yeah.
This is right.
To some extent.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think it's clear that this, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, but your sense of the place and your description doesn't leave me feeling like you were talking on a down note by any means.
Oh, we're not. No, I wouldn't want to give that impression because
yeah.
that is not the way we feel, but I don't want to sound as though I'm Pollyanna-ing the whole thing. We're not. We're just trying to be realistic about
mm-hmm.
what's happening and accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Accept the necessary changes that have occurred.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have any concluding thoughts, either one of you?
Concluding thoughts?
Concluding thoughts. Anything I forgot to ask that you'd like to add?
Can't think. I think you've... I think it covered a lot of territory,
a lot more than I've thought about for a long time.
I'd like to ask you a question when you shut the recorder off.
Okay. Are we done? Yeah.